This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Get prepared. More storms headed your way. Not the kind that you're used to either. In the meantime, what in the heck is going on in Washington? Although we could say that all the time, couldn't we? It's just daily, our own silly briefing. But there was a big briefing. Norfolk Southern CEO saying that we have a responsibility, the railroad, to help East Palestine. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, just a snapshot of what's going on across America. Let's start first with the problems with Norfolk Southern. This is Alan Shaw, who is the chief executive of that rail line. It's been 5 weeks since the tragic derailment in East Palestine, and preparing to talk before Congress about the progress that's been made in cleaning the derailment site and providing financial assistance to people who live there and have had their lives completely interrupted, disrupted, and the future really uncertain. He says there's a responsibility to make it right. We're committed to doing what it takes to help East Palestine recover and thrive. So the National Transportation Safety Board's preliminary report is looking at everything that happened with this rail liner as far as how safe it was or unsafe, and he's saying and going to say on the Hill that every accident's an opportunity to learn what could be done better. Just the other part of that is, too bad if we had to learn in your backyard, which is what the people are thinking because of the things that they've had to deal with for 5 weeks. Now, it has been confirmed that the crew was operating the train within the rules and below the speed limit. The sensors in place to identify overheated axles did work properly, and the crew did take the right action when they got the alert. But what does that mean? That it's not alert them soon enough, but there has to be more of an early warning sensor, plural sensors. I would think that's it. Installing more safety devices along the tracks, I'm sure he'll talk about that, that identify overheating wheels and axles and then reducing the distances between them. That makes sense. So, he's going to talk about the analysis of what they're trying to do to make it better, that's for sure. And he's already released that statement ahead of time talking about the people and what's happened with them, and the CEO's been to the area 5 times since then. The people, of course, are furious and worried and concerned about what's going to happen down the line because they have no idea when it comes to their health. They have no idea when you're talking about cleaning up a toxic site safely, and they're saying that they're going to do that, and of course air and water monitoring have been in place since that accident happened 5 weeks ago. And you're talking about 2,000 tons of soil, 3 million gallons of water had to be removed, all of them transported to other areas that accept and handle material, the places that they could find to take them to because there were some states that refused. So, and as far as monetary help, they've at this point given out $21 million in a quick response and saying that there wasn't any strings attached to this. But it's so easy to say there's no strings attached because nobody knows what does that mean for these families in the future. I mean, that's ultimately the biggest problem with this. So naturally, this is a layup. If you're part of the committee that's going to listen to what Alan Shaw has to say in Washington, of course it's easy to beat up on him. It's easy to dig into what happened to the safety things. Why weren't these things in place? And then there was another derailment. And then listen to what he says back. Ultimately, the key is going to be on the ground, people really watching and monitoring, especially health, and doing that with people in place to daily really keep their eyes on what's going on so they have a better sense of what might be needed in the future and maybe some sort of a fund in place. It'd be so tough to deal with that because these families, a lot of them, they can't just, you know, you could say to yourself, well, can't you just move someplace else? There's no can't you just move someplace else when you're in this small town. You have dozens of kids. You don't have a lot of serious extra capital to just say, okay, let's pick up and go someplace else. Although some of the people that can do that are trying to do that, right? I mean, but it's easy to say that, and then there's no way to naturally easily execute that for many of the people that would be involved in the middle of this. You know, in D.C., something interesting happened. The Senate voted to reject the D.C. criminal code bill. So what does that mean? They voted to overturn some local legislation for the first time in 3 decades. And this was Senate Democrats with Republicans blocking a major overhaul of the city's criminal sentencing laws. So it's a remarkable really turn of events in a city that struggled for its own autonomy for the whole time it's been around. And they actually made some headway in persuading Democrats to unite in support of D.C. statehood. Now they're left wondering about what's going to happen with that effort. That whole criminal code and revising it, all that, boom, down the tube. It's the measure passed 81-14, and it was bipartisan. There were so many that caucused Democrats jumping on in the middle of this. 31 Democrats joining Republicans to vote against this bill. How about that? And what Senator Bill Hagerty, a Republican from Tennessee, who sponsored the disapproval resolution, said targeting the criminal code, he said the D.C. Council put woke ideology over public safety. And again, let me say, the Democrats jumped, many of them, jumped on board with the Republicans. That's how this worked. And he went on to say, no matter how hard they try, the council can't avoid accountability for passing the disastrous, dangerous, soft-on-crime bill. Violent crime has become an epidemic in America. The resolution is a referendum on it. And then went on to say that local autonomy and self-governance are fundamental American values, and any attempt to replace district residents will with that of a federal politicians is violates the basic freedoms and principles on which the country was founded. So isn't that interesting? And that comes from the city lawmakers who are actually denouncing the vote. So they didn't like this at all. And then you've got this push for statehood, you know, a separate state. So they're saying they're being oppressed, that 700,000 people of D.C. are being absolutely pushed down because of this vote. So isn't it interesting? There's a massive debate on this. There were people that were arrested outside the Capitol. They were protesting about it, saying D.C. statehood is justice and marching, etc. So it looks like that is not going to get a boost. In fact, it's going to go in the opposite direction. How about that? Because the question is, how do they reduce or eliminate mandatory minimum sentences while crime is on the rise? Crime is terrible, terrible, terrible there. All right, California and the weather, we got it.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
California can't put the shovels away, really. I mean, they're talking about more bad storms hitting California. Essentially, this time, though, I don't know that it's so much about shovels. They're still shoveling after the colossal amounts of snow that trapped at least those mountain areas. But the next thing up is a lot of rain. So we're talking about flood watches. About 17 million people plus across Central and Northern California, which would include the San Francisco Bay Area and Sacramento, have to watch for the heavy water it's set to really drench that region with some dangerous amounts of rain in places that already have layers of heavy snow from some of these brutal storms. So, you know, you look at the amount of snow and then you think about what happens when the water hits that, and then you'll have that heavy wet snow at some of the higher elevations. That means forget travel, and the impacts from the snow load would be pretty extreme. That's rough, you know, when you're talking about, excuse me, Marin and Monterey, easy for me to say, counties in California have started preparing ahead of this storm, which is what they're calling an atmospheric river event. It's interesting the words that we're learning now with the weather, right? And we've heard this before in relationship to California, so maybe Californians are used to hearing that. But the Big Sur communities like Monterey County, they're telling people and businesses, just make sure you have everything you need. I mean, for at least 2 weeks. So they're not saying, hey, go stock up for a couple of days. No, they're saying 14 days. Of course, they're doing the sandbagging thing for people who think it might protect their property. And you're talking about a pretty populated area, like around Big Sur, and it's a renowned tourist area. Gosh, when I lived in California, we used to go there all the time. It's got kind of rugged cliffs. It's beautiful mountains and a bunch of beaches along the Pacific Coast Highway. So what are you going to do? All you can do is prepare ahead of time. That's what the rescue types are going to have to do, because they know there's going to be this flooding that's going to happen. The reservoirs are full, and the creeks are going to rise, and so then that creates that problem there. And you're talking about urban flooding, so not just out in areas that are a little further out. You're talking about in some of the urban areas. And so San Bernardino County, where in the mountains they've been trapped in their homes, and crews had to do rescues over the weekend. Now they have this on top of that. I mean, listen, it's so bad that you have helicopter pilots who are delivering food and water and even snow shovels to some of the people through the air. I mean, they have to do it that way because they don't have accessibility on the ground. Can you imagine you're waiting for the helicopter to deliver your soup and eggs and basics? Wow. I mean, it's serious. And it's a lot of people that are affected by it because of how much snow they had, how much snow they could get, and everything in between. And if you don't know, when we talk about atmospheric rivers, they're long, narrow bands of moisture in the atmosphere that transport that warm air and water vapor from the tropics, and it can go for thousands of miles. So then it dumps rain and snow when it hits landfall, and it can hang around, right? So it makes the level, the threat, pretty significant. And especially when we're talking about snowpack. So Interstate 80, which goes northeast from San Francisco, it's been closed a bunch of times during the last couple of months with some of the recent weather, and you can bet that that's going to happen again. And all we can do is watch and see what happens. And obviously, some of what I said, like delivering food ahead of time, is a very, very good thing. Hey, speaking of food, we always talk about food prices on this show, especially when you had the big R hovering recession. So, labor, transportation, trying to get certain products to market because of supply chain issues that still are very, very real. That's part of the problem as far as food being really boosted so high. And now what's happened is with higher ingredient prices, some of the food producers are trying to figure out ways to get around that, but so that they don't have to continue to push the pricing so high on the consumers, you know, because the cost changes for making whatever it is that they're making. It's weird. January 2022 to January 2023, groceries 11.3% more expensive. Wow. I mean, that's a huge number when you think about it. So some food companies are forecasting that they might be able to slow down or at least pause the price increases, but they're saying they can't necessarily lower them because of what I just said, because of the ingredients that they still need, or they're trying to figure out ways around it for the products that they're making, right? And then the problems with the transportation, the packaging, and then the wages for the people, all that supply chain pressure that's been building up, that's been part of it. And, you know, there's that debate as to whether or not is there ridiculous amounts of profit in the middle of that, because it's an easy thing to look at and blame, right? When you look at the price increases, and then you look at growth, and then and what their profits are. So companies have these elevated prices, or they're increasing them, when so many of the people listening to the show, I mean, you're struggling to pay for food, right? And it's very real, especially when you have a lot of mouths to feed. It's different if you're single or you have a super small family, right? And even then you can feel it. But if you have a really big family, forget about it. It's like this crazy shrinkflation where you realize how your dollars just, they're not going very far in the supermarket. It's crazy. You know, when I went to the supermarket today, and I had to get like basic bread and eggs and things like that. Like nothing incredibly fancy, although I had to get some produce, and I had to get fruits and some vegetables and stuff, and I was so happy that it was actually under $150, barely. But I looked at everything, and I was like, wow, it seems like every time I step up here, it's like, ooh, the mystery. I'm on the Price is Right. Even though I've looked at it, I'm not exactly sure, because there would be some curveball in what I had to get. And definitely the prices are high. You look at what it is for bread, and I looked up and down that aisle, and wow, you know, just a nothing burger loaf of bread in some cases I saw for $7. I'm like, $7? If you had five or six kids, if you had a handful of kids, that could be tough. How many sandwiches are you making them? What kind of sandwiches are you making? That's the other part of it. So I think people are pushing back on some of the prices and not getting some of the things that they used to get, and they're waiting to see if some of the prices start to drop because of how high it is, because of how much some things have shot up, and then how much some of the food doesn't really stretch like it seemingly used to stretch. We've had people on the show from food networks, a couple of them, that have talked about what can you do, what kind of food can you make that stretches, that you save and you use in other areas. And I think more than ever, more people are really, really looking at doing that, where they weren't necessarily overthinking that. Now there's much more thought going back into it because of what we've seen with, what we've seen with prices. Hey, coming up, we've got your thoughts in the mailbag, including, there's actually two people that asked me, have I seen any movies lately, and would there be anything that I would recommend? And I noticed what is just coming out is the latest Scream edition. Wow, how many Screams have they made? Do you know the answer to that question? It's back again, because somehow Scream finds an audience. Courtney Cox is back. If you think of her being in the first Scream, she's in it again. And it's interesting because this is another one of those movies that has been a franchise that might have taken a little bit of a break, had a little bit of a gap, but it still has found its audience. So that's one of the movies that's out, and it is probably going to lure some people back to the theaters. So there you go, Frank. Others and their thoughts on all kinds of things from A to Z coming up next.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA News Update. Meta has apologized for an outage that disrupted access to Facebook, Instagram, and associated services like Threads and Facebook Messenger Tuesday morning. A spokesman confirmed that a technical glitch was responsible. Michigan officials report that an explosion at a business fueled by butane canisters and over 100,000 vape pens resulted in one fatality. The blast occurred Monday night at Select Distributors in Clinton Township, north of Detroit. A 19-year-old man was struck in the head by metal debris about a quarter mile from the scene and later died from his injuries. Late fees on credit cards are now capped at $8 as part of the Biden administration's broader effort to eliminate unnecessary fees. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau projects that this new regulation will save families over $10 billion annually. John Schaefer, USA News.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
All right, I love that a couple people asked me about movies. Maybe it's because we just had Lash Berry on talking about the Oscar swag bag, and maybe it's because there's so much conversation about movies lately. When you get to May, a lot of times that's when some of the bigger movies are released, or at least that's how it used to be anyway. You know, you got Creed 3, and Creed 3 has done really, really well. It's made $173 million, a little over that, and the budget to make it was maybe $50 million, I want to say. So that's pretty good for the box office and breaking records for sports movies and for a trilogy. That's an impressive amount of money. Especially it opened to like a little over 58 million. So it's definitely set some huge records. I mentioned Scream before because I had Frank ask about movies, and then also I had Annie ask me as well, what did I think of some of the movies that were coming out? And so it's interesting talking about franchises, and I mentioned Scream because Annie asked about scary movies. So it's a slasher franchise, right? So now on its sixth version of Scream, and some of the familiar characters are back in this one, and it definitely has found its audience. I mean, directed by Wes Craven, at least 1 through 4, and then went on to two other directors, and it It started in 96. I mean, you're talking about mid-90s, and there was a little bit of a break, and you're talking about, you know, the very basic idea of the typical scare fright film, I guess. And it came out in December, and it is a slasher film. You know, David Arquette, Nev Campbell, that was the first one, Courtney Cox, Rose McGowan, Jamie Kennedy, Drew Barrymore, and here we are. It's just comes out March 10th for Scream 6. And when you have franchises that produce enough money, because when you look at the merchandise, the games, all of that, it's grossed over $740 million in box office receipts. So you look at the first couple of films, now you go back to what I said is the sixth, and it's going to find its audience because people keep coming back for more with it. That's why they keep producing them. See, I think sometimes this is the thing. Aren't we looking for something different, some good storytelling to keep you, if it's scary, to keep you on the edge of your seat? And that's what Annie asked about, like what she said at the very end of this. Hey, Kate, you know, talking about movies and what do you think about some of the new movies that are coming out? What kind of movies do you like? And I'm a movie fan. I like to watch movies. I like thrillers, not slashers, really. I like great storytelling, mysteries. So it can, the independent films, it can really stretch for me. And looking ahead, there isn't anything that's coming out that I'm thinking, ooh, that's going to be really amazing. I can't wait to see that. I think some of the other films will have like a slow drip on that, and we'll see, especially with independent films, if something else will come out in between. All right, let's go to the next one from Max. And Max says, wow, those people in Mexico, how terrible. I can't imagine now not thinking twice about going to Mexico and you don't look over your shoulder. I mean, I've had friends that have gone to Acapulco and some other tourist areas, but even there have been some problems, not being kidnapped at gunpoint, but things that make you think maybe twice about, is that the right destination? Well, yeah, one of the things that's, you know, people need to look out for is if you're driving and don't be on these highways, you're completely vulnerable. If you're out in an open highway somewhere, you think of the cartels, and, you know, if you're doing a spring break thing or whatever and you're crossing in some of the areas, of course, 30 of Mexico's 32 states are under some kind of a travel advisory. And there are people that just go over the border for spring break. I get it. I used to live in El Paso. We used to go to Juarez and go deeper into Mexico all the time. I wouldn't do that now. I wouldn't go over that bridge and do that at all now. There probably are areas that are still safer than others. Yes, we know that. But I wouldn't want to be on some of these highways. I wouldn't want to rent a car and decide that I'm just going to go drive from one place to another. And I think people sometimes do that, right? So I guess on some highways that you've got cartels that set up checkpoints because they're looking for things. So I don't want to have to go through some cartel checkpoint because I don't really realize the highway in between that I'm traveling on. And then they're even saying, I saw something from a retired FBI agent who advised dressing inconspicuously when you're there. Okay, so what does that mean? Don't look like a tourist. Here's what I say. You fly in, you stay completely in the area where you're supposed to be. And you carry your cell phone all the time. I don't think you're wearing flashy jewelry if you're smart or you're trying to put yourself in areas that could put you in danger. And this is not what Mexico used to be. And again, you just look at the Mexico looking for the kidnappers, with the two Americans being found alive and the two others dead. And I think that's a very big, big warning for everybody. Everybody. All right, let's move on to this one from Mo, who says, Kate, I've been listening to you talk about some of the things that are happening on planes. I have to tell you, it's really kind of unsettling. I know that it's, you know, far and few between, but you think with spring break coming up next week, I'm flying to two different areas on business, and there's been this bizarre spike with things that have happened on planes recently, and I sure would hate to be on a plane where you had a flight attendant who was almost stabbed in the neck with a broken metal spoon, like that story you talked about the other day on that United flight that was going from L.A. to Boston. And I can't imagine being a flight attendant, by the way, on any of these flights after some of what we've heard recently. Yeah, you know what somebody said to me, that you got to think about it. What's your last line of defense? I mean, that really is flight attendants in some cases, especially after 9/11. That's when things really changed, because you knew the stakes were higher, obviously, and the vulnerability and the threats were there in the air. Remember, at one point, airlines had to ban liquor sales on planes because they were hoping that would stop some of the unruliness, and that some people come on planes and they're bombed and they start problems because they've been soaking up the alcohol in the airport lounge, and then that's the stories that we hear. And it seems to me like flight attendants are almost targeted sometimes for people that are ready to just pop off. That's what I think it is. And it is because they're the last line of defense. I remember looking at the stats for 2022, 823 reports of unruly behavior. Wow, that seems high to me. Yes, there's so many flights, I know, but that seems very, very high to me. All right, we move on to this one. This one is from Charlie. He says, Kate, I'm watching what's going on with Ukraine and Russia. I know Zelensky is pushing for more money from the U.S., and there was all that conversation about F-16s, and I just really wonder how long this is going to go on in Ukraine. I really feel for the people, as they have to be struggling to fend off these Russian missile strikes on some of their infrastructure, because that's what we keep hearing that is targeted. That makes sense, that's where they would be in trouble. And he believes, Zelensky believes, they can win the war, but how much time is it going to take, and how much aid is it going to take? Well, that's a big question, right? We have no idea. They're not negotiating, so Zelensky's not giving up. He's not negotiating with Putin at all. That's not going to happen on either side. And it is about how much weapons. How do they hold off with new weaponry? How do they hold off a counteroffensive? How do they carry out a counteroffensive against Russian forces in some of the eastern areas of Ukraine? Because that's the bad spots, obviously. And when Russia finds a pressure point, they're going to storm in more troops and do what they can to make up in quality strikes, because they don't have the quantity of soldiers that they've had in the past. That was one of the things that Putin was looking for, remembering them. And then a lot of former soldiers started to flee. So Congress already has approved $113 billion in emergency funding for Ukraine. They did that last year, but at some point that's going to run out. So how much more assistance are they going to need for future Russian pushes and, the advances, and as they try to liberate more territory? So you got House Republicans who are watching to see whether or not they're going to approve another large aid package or not for Ukraine. And you look at the consequences of war, and of course, really, do we want to see this go on and on and on? And the answer to that is hell no. But I think there is no end point in sight in the near future anyway. 24/7, you can send me your thoughts, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com.
Kate, Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Next guest is in our virtual green room because there's a lot that he talks about through different means, including in his recently published autobiography, From Immigrant to Public Intellectual, An American Story, which is a bestseller on Amazon. It talks about his beginnings, you know, as an immigrant child's rise from those humble beginnings to the career that he's had as an educator, an author, a candidate for governor of New Jersey. Yes, you remember. And also a media influencer. You can catch him on Substack. We'll talk about that and some of what he's writing about. So we're seeing now with Congress continuing to mess around with the debt ceiling, you know that I really harp on this show. We're wondering where is this all headed? And Dr. Murray Sabrin has written about it, like I said, in Substack. And we're talking about what's the big issue here, the Federal Reserve's 2% inflation target. And wow, what is going on? Murray, thanks for coming on the show. Help us out. What's going on with this debt ceiling?
Well, the debt ceiling is just a reflection of the problem we have in Washington, which is we have a constitutional crisis, which no one is talking about. I mean, no one in talk radio, on the talking heads, on cable TV. The federal government is spending money that it's not authorized to spend, according to Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, which I took an oath to uphold when I became a U.S. citizen in 1959. And that's the issue that no one, the Democrats or Republicans, do not want to touch, because it's the third rail of American politics. Whether it's Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the defense budget, both Republicans and Democrats are in bed together, figuratively, maybe literally, I don't know, about what's going on in Washington, which is that we're spending more money than is actually authorized, and therefore they don't tax the people to pay for all these expenditures. We're running these huge deficits, and now we have a $32 trillion debt that is probably going to go to $50 trillion by the end of this decade, which means we're going to have the greatest financial crisis in U.S., if not world, history.
Yeah, so you just said it. Imagine if we have the greatest financial crisis. That's disastrous. So we can't default on the debt ceiling, right?
Well, we can't default because the Federal Reserve can just print up the money to buy up the debt that the federal government has to issue every year in order to cover its bills. So this is a crisis that's been unfolding literally for decades, and both Republicans and Democrats are complicit. And so we need some truth-telling in Washington, truth-telling on the air, and that's my mission in my post-college years, post-college teaching years, is to get out the message that we have to not reform, but we have to downsize the federal government, and I consider myself an abolitionist. Just as the abolitionists in the 19th century wanted to get rid of slavery, we have to get rid of the big government that is giving us a financial crisis down the road, and of course it's unfolding right before our eyes, and most people can't see it.
Yeah, and you know what? You said it. That's why nobody in Washington wants to touch that third rail, because the fat cats don't want to get rid of all the people around them, right?
Well, the thing is, though, we have a culture now of entitlement. I mean, when we sailed up the New York Harbor in August 1949, when I was an infant and arrived in America, it's the Statue of Liberty. It's not the Statue of Entitlement. And unfortunately, we've become a society of entitlement where people think because they belong to a certain group, whether it's seniors, the poor, corporations, they deserve some sort of government subsidy. And that's why we have all these programs that wouldn't exist in a free market. And I've been extolling the virtues of a free market, which is financial independence. And if we had financial independence as the primary cultural value in our society, we would have a $32 trillion debt, we wouldn't have a $6 trillion budget, and we wouldn't have the Federal Reserve manipulating interest rates to manage the economy, which has been a disaster for the past 100-plus years since it was created.
Yeah. And you wrote on one of your blogs on Substack, one of your articles, you wrote about how to fix Social Security and Medicare. And, of course, there's people paying into it that are listening to this and saying, well, wait a second, Murray, I paid into this since the time I was 10 years old, and now they're going to cut me off. So how do we fix it?
Well, I go through pretty much the detail in that article on Substack. Mainly, Warren Buffett says he doesn't pay enough in taxes. Well, one way he can help the government and the country is to get off of Social Security and Medicaid. He's worth $80 billion. He certainly can afford to pay for his own medical bills. The Clintons, the Obamas, they're worth well over $100 billion. They can certainly afford to pay it. Michael Bloomberg is worth, what, $50 billion. Bill Gates and every billionaire in the country could say, we're going to help the country with its fiscal mess, and we're going to get off the rolls. And then what I suggest in the article is that the young people get off of Social Security and Medicare taxes and save for their own retirement. That's what a responsible person does, is they look at their life. Hopefully they'll live into their 70s, 80s, and 90s, and they'll say, hey, I'm going to need a whole bunch of money when I retire, therefore I better start saving right now. And as Warren Buffett says, the great thing of human existence is compound interest. So if you put money away, even if you're earning 5%, you're compounding that over 50 years. You're going to have a bundle of money at the end of the 50 years to pay for your health care and for your living expenses.
Yeah. I think the Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, really screwed up on this whole Norfolk Southern thing. He should have gotten there first in Ohio. And then, of course, now we have this other accident. Murray, what do you think?
Well, this is why there's so much evidence that the federal government, as Ronald Reagan says, the most dangerous sentence importance of the English language is where from the government would help, here to help you. Norfolk Southern is the owner. They're liable for any accidents that occur on their property, and therefore they have to make the people of East Palestine whole with the damages from this incident. And the federal government, they're slow, they're lumbering, they're bureaucratic. They don't fix problems. They just exacerbate problems. And so I live here in Southwest Florida. We had the hurricane. It was an outpouring of voluntary effort to help people. Of course, there's FEMA and state government. But historically, before we had big government, before the New Deal, communities got together, people got together, pooled their resources to help each other when there was a crisis or there was a calamity. And that's the essence of America prior to the Great Depression. Since then, we've been relying on the federal government, and we know that aid is slow. And why should people in Oregon, where there's no hurricane, pay for the damages that people suffered in Florida? That's why insurance is so important. And the problem we know, Kate, is that people are living in high-risk areas, namely coastal areas. And when you live in a high-risk area and private insurers won't insure because it's too risky for them and too expensive, then the government steps in and you create a moral hazard where people live in areas that they otherwise would not live if you had a free market in insurance.
Oh, boy, we could talk about insurance for hours on this show, for sure. Oh, boy, I get so hot about insurance. So tell us about your book, From Immigrant to Public Intellectual, An American Story. I mentioned it at the top. You can get it on Amazon. What do you tell us about in the book?
Well, I tell you how I got educated in New York City through the New York City public schools. My parents, my father especially, was a Democrat. He voted for Adlai Stevenson the first time he was able to vote in 1956. And I accepted the premise that a small welfare state was good to help out people growing up in the 50s and 60s. And then I realized as the Great Society unfolded that this was going to be a disaster, and it certainly has been since the 1960s. And then I started reading more about free market economics and libertarian philosophy, and I became a full-fledged philosophical libertarian. And eventually those ideas turned into a book in 1995, which was the basis for the Libertarian Party of New Jersey inviting me to run for governor in 1997. And I made the case that New Jersey could be a lot better than it is under the management of Governor Whitman, or what Jim McGreevy, the state senator in May, was proposing. And some of the things I talked about were enacted, namely automobile deregulation, automobile insurance deregulation, raising the speed limit on the major highways from 55 to 65, having free speech on your own property. When I was cited by my own town that I had my own lawn sign about my candidacy, and that was a violation of an ordinance. And so we went to court, and the judge said, this is a violation of free speech. That's not part of case law in the state of New Jersey. So you don't have to win as a third-party candidate to make change that is good for society. And so that's the moral of the story from that perspective. But I end the autobiography in 1997 when I ran for governor, and I just pointed out that free markets are the best way to organize our society, because that will allow people the freedom to produce goods, provide services that people want, and that's what social harmony is all about. No coercion, very little taxation, and allow people to have the freedom to pursue their peaceful pursuits, and that's what America is supposed to be all about. Unfortunately, it's been corrupted by the New Deal, the Great Society, and all the other programs that have been enacted the past 60 years.
All right, we got to leave it there. Thank you very much, Murray Sabrin, Substack.com. That's where you can find him. Great stuff there. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Kate. Appreciate it.
This is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. go to Kate Delaney Fan Page on Facebook, Kate Delaney Fan Page on Facebook, or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney, at Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.